And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Good news and bad news, girls. The good news is your dates are here.
What's the bad news?
They're dead.
Ah! See, a United States astro robot becomes a creature of death.
Oh. And Dave.
We have come here to this planet for one purpose only, to acquire breeding stuff to repopulate our planet.
He who breaks the law shall be punished. Back to the House of Pain! Back to the House of Pain!
And welcome to Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast from classic cults and the cheese in between. The movies your beef entertainment is grade A. And I'm your host, Mr. Jason Giaconetti. And I'm joined once again by my dad, Mr. Al Giaconetti.
Hi, Jay. How you doing? We're not doing a movie today, right?
No, this is a feedback episode because we got a few. And obviously, recording kind of gets tricky when you're trying to, you know, figure out how you're going to have time to record and what to go on. So there's a couple of feedback we need to get to. And we wanted to put a little special episode out, as some of you may or may not have noticed. You know, obviously our episodes come out the 13th, and then there's a special one. You know, there's, you know, Thanksgiving and Halloween and stuff like that. But I'm trying to get things out on the 31st of the months, the months that have 31st, as kind of little special ones. Luke and I did the Pitch Storm episode, which I had a lot of positive feedback about, and we're going to do the feedback here. So our first feedback, again, this is from a while ago, so back from March. It's from Jack Bond, and it says, so if a giant spider walks in the desert and nobody sees it, does it make a sound? Says Tarantula, or as my little brother says, Tarantula, starring Clint Eastwood. That 80s afternoon movie comeback from every commercial break with, we now return to Tarantula with Clint Eastwood. So every 15 minutes we were going, huh? It's almost as if Jack Arnold had been to the future and knew that to just tease people with the voice and the eyebrow and then blow the spider away and roll credits. So that's from Jack about Tarantula. Now, obviously, we covered Tarantula a while ago, and Tarantula is definitely a big bug movie. And it is true that it is Clint Eastwood, and that's kind of how they... It's always funny. It's like going back. I'm trying to think. What was it? Anaconda? Remember the original Anaconda? And it's John Voight, right? You know, kind of thing. And then, like, it was John Voight. And then, like, Jennifer Lopez was, like, not anybody yet. But, like, Eric Stoltz was the second biggest star in that movie. It used to be John Voight, Eric Stoltz. And now if you say it says Jennifer Lopez, Ice Cube, John Voight. Like, how often John Voight went to third, you know, kind of thing. Because when the movie got older, Jennifer Lopez became a superstar. Ice Cube became a bigger star. Eric Stoltz became not a star anymore. I mean, as it is, Luke or whatever, Owen Wilson, I think, right? He's in there. Carrie Weir, because the woman who says no to no projects. She says yes to every project. Doesn't matter what it is. Carrie, do you want to be in this? Yes. I don't care. Yes. She likes to work. That was, what's his name? The one from from Poughkeepsie. The one who was in Creature from the Black Lagoon. He always said, well, they offered me a job, so I took it because I like to work. You know, you know what I'm talking about. Richard Denning. Yeah. So the thing is, hang on, folks. And we're back. So the idea, though, is that as movies go and then people who are in them become famous, like Clint Eastwood's in, Revenge of the Creature and stuff like that kind of thing, right? And he's not famous in that movie.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Is Revenge of the Creature was...
Climbing ladders. Lots of climbing ladders. Yeah. In, out. Climb ladders.
Yeah, no, but was Revenge of the Creature before the
it's around the same time.
In Tarantula, he just says... You know, follow my lead.
Right, but you can't see his face. He's got the mask. It doesn't matter. The whole point is that you wouldn't say Clint Eastwood in Revenge of the Creature. He's literally in the movie for like a minute and he loses the mouse in his pocket.
Right. Yes.
You know, kind of thing. So, but the idea is that like when movies change as they go on, that like they'll change names of things. Like, what's it? Not Day After Tomorrow. What's the one with Emily Blunt and Tom Cruise where he keeps dying and they now call it Live, Die, Repeat, which was the tagline to the movie.
Yeah.
But now that's the name of the movie.
Oh,
it's the, isn't it the Day After Tomorrow or something like, or like whatever.
No, Day After Tomorrow.
Not Day, well, you know what I'm saying? No, yeah. Right.
It's not Oblivion, is it?
No, not Oblivion. No, it's, no, that's
no, I'm trying to, I can't remember. You know,
yeah, right. Because they changed the name of the movie because people are like, well, that movie doesn't, Live, Die, Repeat sounds better. And it's like, oh my God. And they're going to make a sequel to it called Live, Die, Repeat 2. And I'm like, wow. Wow, really? But like, because they had to go back and mess with it. Because, you know, that never happens. It's never like, you know, George Lucas went back and messed with all the Star Wars movies and now people are like, they got to have their originals and all this stuff. It's a disaster.
Well, that's one of the fun things about watching an old movie that you never heard of, especially from the, let's say, the late 40s and early 50s. All of a sudden, somebody will just pop up on the screen and, hey, that's Lee Marvin.
Right, yeah,
and
right,
he,
right.
And I'm he saying. Hasn't been, he, and he just got out of the Marines and he's got a rugged face.
Yeah.
And so
Edge of Tomorrow. The movie's called Edge of Tomorrow. And now they call it Live, Die, Repeat because they're making a sequel called Live, Die, Repeat, Repeat. Like, yeah, because that's what we need.
Yeah.
Anyway. But the whole idea is that like they go back and they kind of, it's that revisionist history of things. So certainly, and I understand why they're kind of touting it as like, you know, Clint Eastwood, because it's the 80s and stuff. But Tarantula is so not about Clint Eastwood. But I understand exactly what you're talking about because they used to do that all the time. They would say, you know, whoever in, whatever, and especially the Saturday afternoon movies, which no longer exist because none of that stuff exists anymore. But on like your WNYW, which is our Channel 5 or your channel, your WPIX or whatever, they would have a movie on. And whatever the movie might be, that's what you were watching because there was no other option, you know, kind of thing. And so when that movie would be on, they would talk about like, you know, it would say, like when the Dirty Dozen was on, we say Lee Marvin in the Dirty Dozen, and it's like now we're back to Lee Marvin and the Dirty Dozen, or Jim Brown and the Dirty Dozen, like you know. But in that movie, you know, you could go with Lee Marvin and Telly Savalas and Charles Bronson, and you know, like go on and on and on all the way down the list. But like certain other things, if they didn't have a star, it's not like they're saying Richard Denning in, because I don't know who Richard Denning was in the '80s. I mean, not that you know he wasn't a huge star. It wasn't like he became a bankable star like a Clint Eastwood level kind of thing. It would be like saying, you know, watching whatever, Texas Chainsaw, okay, perfect example, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginnings. It was part four. It was shot and shelved because it's horrible. It still is. And then they put it out. All of a sudden, it said Texas Chainsaw Massacre 4. And I'm like, all right, The Beginnings. I'm going to watch it anyway. And it says Renee Zellweger, Matthew McConaughey. And I'm like, Renee Zellweger, Matthew McConaughey. Let me guess. This is probably from 4 years ago. Because at that point, Renee Zellweger had become kind of a big star. Matthew McConaughey had become a real big star. And you watch the movie, and they're clearly far younger than they were.
Right.
You know, because it's literally been years. I'm like, that guy's going to be up for an Academy Award someday, kind of thing like that. You know, and she did Bridget Jones's Diaries and all stuff. And they pushed it hard. And people rented that movie and were like, ugh, this is horrible, because it is. And, you know, even that, it just was so funny that they push it that way. You know, so. But, yeah, that's where, you know, so. All right. Our second email is also from Jack. It says, Doc Psych, and this is about Dr. Cyclops. It said, Jack goes, your description of the morals of a mad scientist is perfectly captured in another Get Small adventure, The Devil Doll, starring Lionel Barrymore. Now, I've seen that. So have you,
yeah.
The Devil Doll, right? I think I've seen the riff track of that, too, which is probably why I remember more of it. Well, but that's the problem, is public domain movies. I see it's on tonight, although I guess the presence of a Barrymore means that it wasn't a B picture. I'll race to get this off before it starts. He plays a man framed for robbing his own bank and sent to prison, who breaks free seeking revenge by killing the three men who wronged him. He stops at the lab of his fellow escapee, where experiments are shrinking animals and people to stretch the limited resources. The night they shrink the servant girl, although they aren't sure. They have solved the problem of it, erasing the person's mind. Barrymore just says a quiet, but that's murder when he witnesses it. Thorkell is even less aware of the rights of others. When I got to sci-fi movie set with the IMDb saying that there are 700 Paramount movies that Universal owns, I was wondering why they'd put out a box set of Paramount horrors like they did. They did their Hammers. Well, probably because Paramount still exists and its rival, while Hammer doesn't and isn't anyway. So, all right, that's stuff next. So, yeah, the Devil Doll, again, a movie I've seen it once. I probably have seen it Rift from Rift Tracks. Was it on Misty? I don't remember if it's on Misty or not. But there are movies that I've seen. Like, I don't think I've ever seen the Killer Shrews without it being Rift. And I don't know if I want to watch the Killer Shrews without it being Rift, kind of thing. I mean, I know the Roscoe P. Coltrane is in there, the sheriff from Dukes of Hazzard. He plays one of the guys. But
I mean, I have the Killer Shrews on DVD.
So do
I. Some set, and it's an okay movie. The Shrews are, I mean, how they got the dogs to keep the makeup on the prosthetics on to make them look like they did was a feat and a half. But you know, as we talk about, you know, people on the movies. A good example of this is, you go back to the middle to late 50s, people like Charles Bronson. Charles Bronson was the assistant in House of Wax, the 3D movie with Vincent Price.
Yeah.
But he wasn't Charles Bronson at that time. He had his real name.
Yeah.
But then when you get to the Magnificent Seven, now you've got Yul Brynner, who's the big star. Right. You've got Steve McQueen, who really hasn't done any major movies, because this was a couple of years before he did The Blob, but he's now second billed.
Right.
But now you've also got James Coburn, who hasn't reached his pinnacle yet, Charles Bronson, who hasn't reached his pinnacle yet, and even Horace Buchholz, who was a big star in Mexico. He sort of petered out a little bit later on, but those guys then wound up making, right after that, The Great Escape.
Right.
Not Horace Buchholz. Yeah. In The Great Escape, now you've got, if you had to look at five major motion picture actors in one picture, they're there. And even Richard Attenborough.
Right.
You know,
right.
John Hammond from from Jurassic Park. I mean, at that point, okay, who is he?
Yeah.
He, nothing.
Yeah. So The Devil Doll, what he's talking about, it's not the movie I was thinking of. I don't know if I've ever seen it. This is 1936, and it's Lionel Barron, Maureen O'Sullivan, and Frank Lautner, the other one. This is Todd Browning, uncredited as the director. This is not, I'm thinking of, I think, Devil Doll, 1964, with where he's a ventriloquist. That's what the movie I'm thinking of. It looks like that.
Right.
Yeah. That's not quite up to the same level. That's the one I think that's been riffed, because I'm like, I don't remember the being little people. I'm thinking of the puppet people.
Right.
Right? Which I know I've seen riffed and unriffed. But the one thing about Dr. Cyclops is that it was, to me, I think it was kind of ahead of its time being in color. It's kind of ahead of its time by pushing, there are racial stereotypes that would not fly nowadays, you know, kind of thing like that. It wouldn't have even flown even, you know, 30 years later, but, you know, whatever. But I think it pushed kind of that idea that science for the sake of doing, he's a mad scientist, but he's like, you're just in his way. And it wasn't that he really hated everything. He just was, you're in his way, like stop being in the way of science. And that science was the absolute. And I think we can appreciate the idea that like, he was really focused on doing his job. And that's really what he wanted to do. I'm doing this job. I don't care if I have to shrink every horse, every person, every whatever, just, I got to get my job done. And that's what he was focused on. So, so thank you, Jack, for writing in those. Like I said, folks, if you have any feedback for us, we'd love to hear from you. I know sometimes we're a little slow to get to it. Sometimes we're pretty good about throwing one in every episode, but times have been kind of tricky trying to be able to meet and be able to, you know, to have time to record and stuff like that, especially with everything that's still going on and has been going on. So obviously, as we're going through this, if you have, you know, thoughts and ideas or anything like that about movies we've covered, even stuff we covered earlier this year, you have some feedback on that stuff, we'd love to hear from you. Hey, you know, did you see, you know, again, did you, if you saw one of these movies in the theater, and when Demi Dad talks about this stuff, like, you know, seeing stuff in the 50s and 60s in the theater, like the movies from them at that time. But if we're covering something new, did you see it in the theater? Did you see, like when we talked about, you know, 88's The Blob, right? I remember 88 The Blob having tons of trailers on TV and being excited, but we were too young to see it. So as soon as we got to watch this thing, you know, kind of thing. So, love to hear from you. Also, too, we're on the lookout for all kinds of trying to, you know, put different things out there for you. I'm hoping that people enjoyed when Luke and I did the pitch storm, where we pitched movie ideas back and give the elevator pitch back and forth about movies. So we'll have more of that stuff coming. So I think that does it, folks. I know a short episode this time out. It's just, again, a quick feedback episode trying to give you guys some of that stuff. And then again, we do appreciate any feedback and comments we get from you guys. So, Dad, we good?
Yeah, we're good.
All right.
Next time out, we'll have another
B-movie.
Another classic.
Yeah. Well, or it'll definitely be
a movie.
It will be a movie. Yes. So, folks, keep those cards and letters coming and keep watching the skies.
This is Tokyo, once a city of 6 million people. What has happened here was caused by a force which, up until a few days ago, was entirely beyond the scope of man's imagination. Tokyo, a smoldering memorial to the unknown. An unknown which at this very moment still prevails and could at any time lash out with its terrible destruction anywhere else in the world.
Hi, folks. Luke Giaconetti here. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Do you like giant monsters, or as they're called in Japan, Daikaiju? Monsters like Godzilla, Rodan, Gamera, King Ghidorah, or Mothra? Do you like more obscure monsters, such as Gappa or Yangari? Do you like giant heroes like Ultraman, or super robots like the Shogun Warriors? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I think you might like my podcast, Earth Destruction Directive. I'm a dedicated fan of all things Daikaiju, and I'd like to share that with all of you. Please check out Earth Destruction Directive at twotruefreaks.com. Earth Destruction Directive, where we turn your Daikaiju dreams into city-smashing reality.
This has been an episode of Bots, Bugs, and Babes, the B-Movie Podcast. If you'd like to contact me, please email the show at botsbugsbabes@gmail.com. If you'd like to find me online, I'm on Facebook under my name, Jason Giaconetti. I often contribute to the Two True Freaks Facebook group. You can visit my Facebook page, The Art of Horror Collective, and you can search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective. On Instagram, find me under my name, Jason Giaconetti, and search the hashtag The Art of Horror Collective, as well as the new hashtag Bots, Bugs, Babes Podcast. I'm the only one using them. I'm also on Twitter at Jason Giaconetti, and you can visit my webpage at www.theartofhorrorcollective.wordpress.com. All movies, characters, stories, music, etc. are properties of their respective holders. This is a fan work, and any use of any property is purely for review, discussion, entertainment. So don't sue me. I ain't got anything anyway.
There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow! There is no tomorrow!
Will you stop?